Glory to God. How many believe in prayer?
Amen.
Sometimes we get discouraged because we don't see things happen the way we want them to happen. But nevertheless, every prayer God hears. My wife and I, just before service, were up at the hospital to see Brother Marquardt. He really needs our prayer, folks. Very, very weak. Sister Marquardt needs our prayer. Brother and Sister Mangia need our prayer. And we need to stand in the gap for them. Not just pray for them at service, but as we go about the day, as God prompts you, pray. Pray for them. One day, perhaps you'll be in the same situation. You'll need a people who will stand in a gap for you.
Yes.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why don't we pray for them right now? Jesus, Lord, we ask you to reach down and touch Brother Marquardt, Sister Marquardt, Brother and Sister Mangia, God. Those that are here right now that need a touch from you, God. Lord, you took a horrible beating that by your stripes we are saved. It's in Jesus' name. Bless your word, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll turn to Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse number 1, I want to introduce a brand new ministry to you tonight, and everybody is welcome to be a part of it. I only have one ministry. I'm in charge of all of the gossip in this church. So if you're a gossiper, you need to come to me so we can coordinate. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. How? In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Someone's overtaken in a fault, don't bother going to them unless you know you're spiritual. And you want to restore them, not point out their problems. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own works, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, especially unto the household of faith. Amen. You may be seated. I also like you to turn to Revelation, the 14th chapter. Verse number 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Everything that you have done to promote Christ and the church will follow you. There will be a reward for whatever you... People don't see it, doesn't matter. God sees it, it's going to follow you. Amen. Jude. Verse 22. And some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Amen. And then 2 Thessalonians 3 and 13 says, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. You know, there are lots of Sunday school teachers and nursery workers and Bible study teachers and all kinds of people in the church who are busy doing the things that need to be done. And you can get to the place where you get burned out or tired of it. But God said, don't be weary of those things. Well, somebody ought to take over now because I've been doing it now for all of these years. I don't believe, I'd rather burn out than rust out, you know? Some of you here have an incredible ministry that most of us aren't even aware of. You are the do-gooders in the church. You know who you are, and God will be giving you a reward sooner than you think. Now, as a church, we put much emphasis on asking people to come to church and asking them to come to concerts and special occasions, and all of that is as it should be. However, we many times get discouraged because of refusals and rejections, and then we get to the point where, why even ask somebody, because I'm afraid they're just not going to come anyway, and I don't feel like getting rejected one more time. Perhaps we should practice the art of doing good to people. I know this is a simple message. I'll try to make it as complicated as I can so you get your money's worth. But sometimes the simple is just do something good for someone. But I don't have a ministry. You now have a ministry. The art of doing good to someone, especially of the household of faith. Many times Jesus fed or healed people long before they ever became disciples. Several times he would say, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And then they followed him because of something nice that Jesus did. Did Jesus do anything nice for you? Church, what if we were always on the lookout for an opportunity to do something good for somebody? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Galatians 6 and 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto... Wait a minute. Oh, yeah. All men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. There's always someone in our church that has a need, always, that could be met by somebody right next to them and not even know. It causes them to bind to the body and to give praise to God. So when we do something nice for somebody within the church, it causes them to say, you know what, that's the church I want to stay with. And then I want to praise God for what they did for me. You see? Glory to God. Someone who is temporarily out of work that may need a few dollars. I've seen this happen over and over again where somebody gave me an envelope to give to somebody, but please don't tell them who it's from. Or a meal because somebody has been sick and they haven't been able to take care of themselves. Just a kind word after not being in church for a while, especially onto the household of faith, you see. Not, where were you? It's so good to see you, you see. That's how the church needs to function. Now, here is where the big blessing comes. Helping somebody you don't know or hardly know. A neighbor who needs help in their yard or maybe help shoveling their driveway at 10 degrees. Or for no reason at all, bring over a fresh baked cake or some cookies. Just thought about you, and I thought I was baking anyway. I thought I'd just bring it over to your house, and God bless you. No reason. Perhaps they will feel more agreeable to come to church the next time you ask them, simply because you did something nice to... Is this too deep? Okay. All right. All right. I know this might be asking a little bit too much, but here goes. Smile at a rude clerk. Be nice to somebody who is obnoxious, you know? And then you know if you really have the Holy Ghost and display the fruit of the Spirit, you see? You can talk in tongues without the fruit of the Spirit, but people will know us based on the fruit, you know, of the Spirit that is operation in our life. There have been a few times when I was in the drive-thru at Starbucks and I got ready to pay at the window, and they said, the car in front of you paid for your coffee, you know? And I didn't know who that person was, and I thought, why would they do that? They don't know me, you know? They just paid for my coffee. And the next time I went through the drive-thru, you know what I did? I paid for the guy that was behind me, because I wanted to know, why would they do that? And I realized why they did, because it made me feel so good. I just blessed somebody I didn't even know. God operates that way, you see? The thing that prompted me to preach this message was because Sunday night, after the service, Brother Stiles came up to me and he asked me, do we have any more of the communion elements someplace? And I said, I'm sure Brother Paul Dorflinger, he would know where they are. And I asked him why. A man that I went to church with, he went to church with, 40-some years ago, Brother Keith Lebecki. I remember playing tennis with him. He's in the hospital right now, and he's not doing well at all. But Brother and Sister Stiles have been going up there, even though they haven't been in the church for many, many years. And the whole family, I don't know, something happened, they're not in church. But the Stiles have been going up there and praying for him and talking to the family. And yesterday went up there and had communion. Do good. Years ago, Brother Gilgenbach took a group of our youth to Mexico, and they helped build a little church for Brother Wakefield. And while they were there, they saw the poverty. They saw how poor those people were. And they all took extra money to buy souvenirs. And they just gave it all to the people that were in the church. They came back so spiritually high, looking for something to do spiritually in our church because of the experience. See, you can't teach that to somebody. They have to experience it for themselves. There's some things that we do for other people that motivate us to get closer to God. You see? Hallelujah. Why do you think that Pastor Portman gets so excited about junior camp? It's because for years, he has invested his time, his effort, his money, and he realizes the good feelings that come with praying for a young person to get the Holy Ghost and spending time as a dorm dad, doing good for kids that he doesn't know, won't be in our church. Most of us don't know who Carl Thompson was. He was one of the founders of this church in 1969. And about 30 years ago, he was diagnosed with cancer, and it came on very quick. It was leukemia, and he was very, very weak. And I remember at the beginning of the year, we had foot washing, and he was not able to come. But I went over to his house and washed his feet. And I remember the power of God that just moved in that little kitchen, you know, as we prayed together, knowing that this is probably the last time he'll ever have foot washing. Never, ever underestimate the power of one small gesture of doing good. You could save a life. Maybe save a spiritual suicide by a kind gesture of well-doing, a compliment, just a kind word to somebody who's going through something. We come to church not just to be ministered to, but we come to church to minister to each other because we are the body of Christ. And there's some things, you know, it's God with skin on. You know, it's nice to be touched by the Spirit of God, but when people can talk to you and help you and relate to your situation, it's why God put us all in the same place at the same time. Perhaps someone ready to leave the church and you compliment them on their faithfulness, and all of a sudden they say, well, I need to live up to what you were saying, you see. Did you know you don't have to have a ministerial license to go to the hospital and pray for somebody? But it's an amazing experience. Not only to pray for the individual that's there, but who knows who you're going to run into while you're there. God sets up these appointments. It's just amazing. So many opportunities to do good to people that are all around us. Amen. I know we get so busy and caught up in our own little world, and I've got this obligation and that obligation, and you know, I got to take care of my situation. But maybe just time out and look for somebody that has less than you or is hurting for you. And then I wonder if God doesn't add to the church because of that very thing. Amen. We can't ask an evangelist to come in here and bring revival, you see. We can't have a program that brings revival. The revival has to start in the heart of every individual that says, somehow I need to minister to somebody, because each and every one of us, according to the word, are high priests. Yes. I literally have my own parking space at the hospital down the road. I do. I have bottles of oil in almost all of my suits and in my cars. Not many people know the feeling that comes from leaving a hospital room after praying for somebody who is so desperate, afraid, and sick, and not knowing what's going to happen. But you were there to comfort them, to reassure them, or to comfort a family member in grief after losing a loved one. There's this feeling of fulfillment and usefulness that is hard to explain. You see, we all need to feel like we're useful in the kingdom of God. And sometimes we relegate that to having a ministerial license or having a ministry within the church, or I can sing, I can play an instrument. You know what? All of that is nice. But it's secondary to reaching out to somebody to help them get to the place where you are. Perhaps it's the art of doing good that God rewards in a special way. Would you turn to Matthew, the 25th chapter? verse 34. Jesus put together this so beautifully that no one could explain it better than this. Matthew 25 and 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come and ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. An opportunity to minister to Jesus is ministering to somebody else. Somebody you know, somebody you don't know. Open a door for somebody. Smile at somebody. Say good morning to someone. My wife is so excellent at doing this. Complete strangers, talking to them, have a nice day, good to see you. I remember shortly after my dad passed away, I was at Farm and Fleet, and there was an old guy, he's probably my age now. He was walking on an aisle, and he slipped and he fell. And there were all kinds of people around him, but they just kind of looked at him, and he was embarrassed. And I remember walking up to him and helping him, you know, just get on his feet. And he was so grateful. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. But that's who we are as a church. Take the time to minister to somebody. Would you turn to Matthew, the 10th chapter, and verse 40. Jesus said, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. This scripture has always stuck out in my mind, that if we receive a prophet in the name of the prophet, if we do good to the evangelist, to the missionary, to somebody who's visiting here, we shake their hands and pray for them, or maybe we take on a missionary on a monthly basis, God's saying, you're going to have the same reward as that individual, that missionary, that evangelist, that prophet. Even though we're not on the field 100% of the time, we're not preaching in another church every weekend. Glory to God. And he said, I'm going to reward you. Hallelujah. There is going to be a rewards ceremony one day, you know, and it's not just going to be the biggies, you know. It's going to be the little things that we have done for other people. Hallelujah. The times that we've kept our mouth shut and the times that we've kept our mouth open. Perhaps it's not just the job of a pastor, but all of us to do these things. I think the key is looking for an opportunity. Always looking for an opportunity to help somebody. I remember one of my first jobs was working in an insurance agency, and they decided they were going to send me to class on how to relate to people, make friends and influence people. That was the name of the class. I probably really needed it. And I remember what the instructor said is that find something in the person that you're with that you can sincerely compliment them about. Not just words, but I mean really see something about them and they will be your friend forever. You know? I like the way you, your hair, your clothes, the way you speak. And, you know, it doesn't take much to do that. And all of a sudden, they become your friends, and then it's so much easier to win a friend than it is a stranger. Glory to God. I think the key is looking for that opportunity. There are opportunities all around us if we really want to see them and activate your ministry of doing good. It's an art. It really is. There are days when we're just challenged. We really are. Some of you are going through different stages. Some of you have little babies. Some of you are starting new jobs, brand new marriage. And you know, we all have agendas. Many demands on our life, busy with family and obligations. But if we really care for the lost and want to see them saved, we will find the time to do someone good. There are those of you who have went out of your way in order to pick somebody up to bring them to church. My wife and I have done it many, many times, gone way out of our way, and then take them home. Sometimes, no thank you, but Jesus is thanking you. Or call somebody who we haven't seen for a while. Those who set aside your life once a week to teach a home Bible study to somebody who may not even be interested in the Bible. That takes sacrifice, preparation, clean the house, make a dessert for the class. But at the end of the week, you can feel the hands of God on you. And when you walk in that door, you don't have to dance for a half an hour before you feel the presence of God. Because God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him and those He loves. We become God's hands, His mouth, to the lost. It's just not enough to keep all of this to ourselves and just have friends in the church and, boy, it was a good service and I like the songs that we sang. I still remember the feeling that came over me after talking to a blind lady who was in a wheelchair who came into our clock shop one day. What she was looking for is a chiming clock so she could tell what time it was because she couldn't see. And I started talking to her about Jesus, and she became interested in what is that church like? And I said, I'll pick you up at 6 o'clock for a Wednesday night service. And I remember we had a vehicle that we could deliver Grandpa the clocks, and I picked her up, and as I started pushing her through the door of the church, I almost was paralyzed with the presence of God, because God was so pleased that I'd go out of my way. I'm not bragging about me. I'm just saying, you know what? God is so interested in people if we will be interested in them. Hallelujah. It's a ministry. Some people long to help others, and then they become doctors, and they become lawyers and counselors, and all that is very noble, and there is a satisfaction that comes by helping people, but they'll still die without God. But do we understand that each and every one of us are in a position to help people into eternity? It is our profession. Would you turn to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 23. Paul's saying, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Now, if you have a profession, the reason you're a professional is because you get paid. An amateur does those things, but there's no payment or reward involved. And what Paul is saying, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Amen. So why don't people reach out to others around them more often? Or like we did when we first came into the church, there was something about once we got the Holy Ghost, we had to tell somebody about it. But after a while, it seems like it's a little harder to do that. Maybe it's because we weren't received well, or in fact were hurt in the process of trying to talk to somebody about God. Get used to it. That's just what happens, you know? I'm sure I hurt somebody's feelings when they asked me to come to church. You have to understand that they aren't rejecting you, but they are resisting their own flesh. They're their own worst enemy, like you were your own worst enemy when somebody came to you. But I recognized in the process there were people who were praying for me and fasting for me, and because of that, God intervened, and I was able to overcome the flesh and open myself up to the things of God. If you go to 2 Timothy, if our musicians would come. 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, and verse 24. Paul's saying, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves, if God peradventure would give them repentance to the acknowledging of truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of a devil who are taken captive by him at his will. We're sort of a raiding party. We're sort of a posse, if you will, going after people who have been bound by sin. And it's who we become. We can't confuse God's rewards with the acceptance of people that we reach out to. You know, they're not going to always accept us with open arms, but there's a God who's saying, if you do that for them, you have done it for me. Amen. God is the one who compensates for every little good that we do. Every minute thing that we do for somebody else. Because he said in Revelation 22 and 12, behold, I come quickly, and my rewards is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I want him to say that to me. As I was putting this together this afternoon, I thought of something that touched me so deeply, and it wasn't even a person. I remember driving down Highway 31 at MM, and a dog ran out in the middle of the road, and a car hit him. Both of his front legs were broken, and I saw this dog trying to keep moving with his back legs to get to the side of the road. And I had such compassion for this poor dog, and the owner came running out from their house, and I picked up the dog and carried it over to the ditch, stopped my car, and there the owner, a lady, was just crying and trying to somehow console this poor dog that was dying. Folks, if we could see everybody. Just like that. And some have compassion that makes a difference. They're dying all around us. And we have the antidote. We have the answers. Nobody else does. I just don't want us to be relegated to good church. Good church. Good crowd, good song service, good preaching, but somehow, let me help somebody. I don't know when he's coming, but I believe it's soon. I smoked a pack of cigarettes today just by breathing in the smoke. I'll probably have to wear a patch now. Jesus is coming soon. If we could just help one more person to the side of the road, and tell them about Jesus. Would you stand with me? You know, you can go home and say that was unique. Or you can make a decision tonight to get involved in this ministry, The Art of Doing Good. God, this week, I'm going to do something for somebody. Maybe the neighbor that I haven't talked to for a while. Maybe bake a cake or do something. Can I help trim around your bushes? I just want to do it for you, that's all. And I wonder what could happen as a result of that. Maybe we've done so many other things to try to generate new people that this would be the key. The altar's open, would you come?